Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson.
Hey.
I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today. Top five movies ruined by high expectations. Kind of a self-destruct on these films, because our expectations help to sink them in our eyes. It'll be a bit subjective, but...
A lot subjective.
A lot subjective.
Way more subjective than...
typical.
Than normal. Than
typical.
And, you know, once again, not a whole lot of passion. It's not like I can't wait to get out there and talk about films that didn't live up to my expectations. It's not something I'm excited about, Brian, but I'll talk about where they rank, and I'll explain why they did not live up to expectations. Then we'll move on with our day, and we can get on to next week's episode. I think today is all about flick fashion.
Perhaps. Perhaps
assuming
perhaps some controversy.
You saw the two movies that I believe you I hope you saw.
Perhaps some controversy.
Wait,
in Confessions.
Wait, did you not see what I asked you to see?
Perhaps some controversy. Oh, I saw.
Okay. Why is there going to be controversy?
Could be difference of opinions.
On what?
We'll see.
Did you see Dunkirk?
We'll see.
Should we get right to
it?
No,
we shouldn't. I want to throw something. I had a sinking feeling as I was researching this list. And I was going to text you, but often it was like, I don't know,
yeah, don't do that.
2 days ago. And often when I text you, I realize you've gotten pretty far on your research and I don't want to throw you, but I thought I'd just discuss on the air.
Oh, this is what's controversial?
No. This is completely separate. This might be controversial also. My movies are not, so like, okay, what was your criteria for movies movies that were ruined by your high expectations? They had to be movies ruined.
If I was excited about them, or if I was led to believe that they were going to be great because of where they stand the test of time on lists and whatnot, and I see them and it did not live up. I mean, it's pretty basic. It's pretty simple.
No, good. I'm glad because I think we're a little more simpatico than I'd feared, because I saw a couple of tweets trickling in. People sometimes copy me on the...
What are you looking at the Twitter over there?
People sometimes copy me on the tweets about the topic for the week. And I saw a lot of like...
As in they copy you? Like they see what you tweet and then they copy you?
No,
they're a copycat?
They CC me.
Oh, I see.
And they...
I was joking, by the way.
They tag me on the tweets. And
did the trolls tag you, Brian?
No, they were legitimate entries, but I saw a lot of Star Wars Episode One films of that nature.
That would make sense.
No, it would not, because here's the problem, and I fear the listeners
does not lead up to live up to expectation.
No.
You're very excited about
the wording of the top five is all tricky. Star Wars Episode One was ruined because it was a bad movie. Your expectations may be one thing, but it's a bad movie. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull,
plastic skull,
did not get ruined by your expectations. It got ruined by the fact that it was terribly made.
So essentially, your criteria is that it must have already been released, and you have heard other things about it before seeing it.
This is why it's subjective. My specific criteria is had to be, of course, high expectations. That's part and parcel of the list. Mm-hmm. But also had to be an otherwise good movie that I was maybe hoping for more, didn't meet my expectations.
All five of mine fall into that.
Okay, good. We're on the same page.
So we'll be on the same page.
Excellent.
Don't worry. Let's move on with our... Hey, you know what's upsetting? Mm. Chats with Andy going really well, enjoying them.
That is upsetting.
It's a lot of fun, and when I don't have them, or like today, I only had one this morning, and I didn't have one in the afternoon, and I felt like something was missing.
What's the most you've had in one day?
Three, which... Ooh. I realized three is my limit, because the third call was with a bloke. They call them blokes in Australia.
I believe they do.
Spoke with Steve down in Australia. This is the second time. Some people are getting repeat chats.
Ooh.
Yeah. Let's
double
check
dip.
In again.
Is it a BOGO situation? Buy one, get one like half off?
No, I don't do that. It's not a gimmick, Brian. No. So anyways, Steve was my third call of the day, and it started to rain when I was outside. I was all setting up for the call down to Australia. And anyways, long story short, he's doing a... we're bouncing ideas back and forth. We're spitballing with an idea that he has for a screenplay that he's working on, and we're workshopping it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay.
And I didn't bring my A game. I felt like I was a little bit fatigued, because I feel tired after these calls. I give them my all, and I'm like, what they're like is like a really good conversation you might get in with a stranger at a bar or something.
Okay.
And they're almost all like that. They feel like that. I'm learning something with every call.
Yeah.
I'm totally invested. And I'm on the edge of my seat, literally, when I'm taking these calls. I'm not sitting back or being relaxed. And I hear every single word.
True or false, you've taken a call from the toilet?
No. Okay. I'm always in the exact same spot, unless it's raining, and then I have to go out front. But I'm always outside next to the pool where Cult of Corona was shot. And anyways, a number of times. Well, the most common question I get from the listener is, what do you really feel about Brian? How do you really feel about Brian?
We're very much in love.
And I've also been getting this. Seems like you and Brian have been a lot more nice to one another.
We're always nice to one another.
And that upsets me greatly. Disappoints me.
Fuck you. See, we're back.
Because I feel like if my anger is not showing through,
such a gimmick.
We're not doing no.
It's, such a bit.
Honestly, and my answer is this, and this is what it's been: is you know, you used to anger me greatly on the regular, and much with.
And I've worn you down. I've whittled you down.
Through attrition, yes, I have kind of let my arms down a little bit.
Do you tell the stories of when we used to work together at Loveline, and I used to bombard you with thumbs
at times? Yes, I've told those stories, and I'd actually say no.
Synopsis.
Brian, you'd say yes, and I'd say no, Brian, get away from me. Just go over there. Don't talk to me.
I was an eager young bloke.
Did I not say this? So I'm like, I don't like you. I don't want to talk to you.
You would put your hoodie on over your headphones so as not to even look at me, let alone acknowledge me.
Disliked quite a bit. But through the years, I've grown to appreciate you. Plus, you've really come around on films, and you talk about films much differently than you had back then. Mm. You see them, I think, with... better eyes.
I hope so.
Back then, it was just like, yeah, I was flipping through channels, and I saw Terminator 2 was on, T2. So I watched that.
Two-thirds of that.
Holds up pretty good. Still really like that T2.
There's a commercial for State Farm. It was really interesting.
That was what Flick Fashion used to be, and it would, as you can imagine, make me very upset. But you've come around. So... on to the films that we saw.
Flick Fashions. Yes. Well, Flick Fest, confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Two big releases this week, so let's just dive right in. Girls Trip. Girls Trip is in theaters now.
You know what? I'm glad that you brought that up because I don't think that this is the show. Maybe at the end of the show. Got an email about how maybe we were too hard on films about marginalized communities and populations, and it was because we're kind of making fun of Girls Trip last week. And I went back and forth with this caller, I mean, with this emailer, this listener, and it was actually a really good conversation. It wasn't just like he was saying some shit and then he got out. Kind of a long email, so if we were to read it, it'd be the end of the show. Right. But essentially, he thought that I don't know about you, I can't speak to you, but we were making fun of the Girls Trip, which is a highly rated movie, evidently.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
This is what this listener let me know.
I'm only going off the trailers and commercials.
Alexander is his name. And... it didn't even occur to me when we were making fun of it that it was a black movie. I just thought of it as a white movie. I mean, not as a girls movie, not a white movie. It's just a girls movie. It's just a cheap imitation of The Hangover for a girls, for the girls segment of the audience.
Sure.
And I'm tired of those. And so we went back and forth and a lot of Moonlight talk. And I had to stick up for my reasoning on Moonlight. Maybe we'll talk about that in another episode.
That's an interesting point of view. I would offer this as just a reasonable counter. If that was the case, if we reacted a certain way towards movies about marginalized groups, then we would have a problem with fill in the blank, 12 Years a Slave, or any offenses, you know what I mean? Like any movie like that.
Oh, I did have some problems with offenses.
But on its merits, not opposed to the idea.
Here's what I told Alex.
I will say this about Girls Trip. I saw it as just like another, I felt like the exact same way as I felt about Grown Ups. Like, yeah. I was like, this doesn't really interest me. It was kind of silly.
Or Rough Night, which came out a week ago. I guess is the white female version for The Hangover. I wasn't even thinking about white or black. I was just thinking
I thought of them almost interchangeable movies.
Exactly. So did I.
Which is progress.
However, I did think I did use a black accent and asked why someone was tripping, but that was just because
you hate black people.
Of the title, Trip was in there. And
why are you girls tripping?
Oh, so let me just be clear, though. All right. My stance on this is that the black community, the population that is black.
This ought to be good.
Does not get the films that they deserve.
All right. Can you say this for the after disaster?
I don't think that...
racial...
The black community has any other than maybe Steve McQueen. The Hughes brothers have gone, pardon the pun, dark. Mm-hmm. I've not heard from them in quite some time. And, you know, don't get me started on John Singleton and his shortcomings and fucking Spike Lee. I just don't think that the black community gets their fair share of, like, quality films. And that's what upsets me. And now that might sound racist, but if anything, the way I see it is it's the other way. It's like I feel like... there should be better black movies.
Yeah, you might be right. I can't speak to that, but it doesn't feel like the volume is there. I will say that. It feels more of a rarity when a girl's night or girl's trip. Girls Trip?
Girls Trip.
Girls Trip. Girls Trip. And that's right.
Let's talk about the movies that came out. Don't make any jokes about Girls Trip.
Girls Trip was all right. You know what? It wasn't bad, actually. Mm-hmm. What is the rating on Rotten Tomatoes? That's what we gambled on.
I don't know. I'm going off of what Alexander told me.
I would be surprised, but... again, just going on to what I saw. Two big movies in theaters this week. I assume we saw them both.
I know you had to see Valerian. Please tell me you saw Dunkirk.
I saw Dunkirk.
Dunkirk.
What do you want to talk about?
Dunkirk. Let's talk Dunkirk first.
Dunkirk. Dunkirk is in theaters now. It is written and directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Fionn Whitehead, Mark Rylance, Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy, Kenneth Branagh, as Anderson likes to say. Also known as Kenneth Branagh. Sitting at a cool 93% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why is that cool?
because it is sitting pretty. 93%. Got to be satisfied with that 93%. Objectively, a good movie. Very skillfully made. But now I'm going to start off, and I hope I don't upset you. I didn't love Dunkirk. Maybe that's very apropos to our topic this week. Top five movies ruined by your high expectations. No fault maybe of Dunkirk or less
Were your expectations high?
Very high.
Really?
This
why?
This is the movie I thought would save summer.
Why is this?
Because
Spider-Man's already done that, but why
were my expectations high?
Why is that?
Christopher Nolan, first and foremost. I think he has yet to make a bad movie. Even his worst movies that I've seen, maybe Insomnia. If Interstellar and Insomnia are your two worst movies, you're doing all right. He has a solid track record, especially with Tom Hardy. I had high hopes. And the trailer, the trailers that I've seen, the ads have been great. Great marketing campaign. Okay. Right. Dunkirk was, to me, set up for success.
I've seen very few trailers. I've been hearing about this for quite some time because my buddy Milan worked
That's
on
right.
it.
That's right. And your buddy worked
he
on it.
He was assistant camera on the B unit, which was right there on the mole, and it was right there for all this stuff. So I got to call him yesterday, have a little talk. He's in Pittsburgh right now working on another film, but I wanted to make sure that all the information that I had heard and read about since seeing Dunkirk was accurate, because I get from the old trivia over there on IMDb, and he collaborated all of it. He said, yes, all this is true. Corroborated on all of it, and don't fucking correct me, you smug cunt.
See, this is how Anderson really feels about me. How do you really feel?
So,
I didn't love Dunkirk. To me, Dunkirk was a 3 out of 5 star movie.
Ooh,
objectively good.
Yikers.
Do you agree? Okay, so where do you stand on Dunkirk?
If I had to rate this, 4.5.
Really? Yes. You loved it?
Okay,
let's talk.
This sounds wrong, but here's what I say about Dunkirk.
4.5.
I was mildly blown away, which is kind of an oxymoron.
Right.
But I was blown away, but in a day and age where I'm blown away pretty much once a year with something just crazy, like the last time I was blown away, and might sound like an oxymoron, but all right, Dark Knight blew me away.
Sure.
Mad Max Fury Road blew me away. This one, parts of it blew me away, but expectations high. I know what Christopher Nolan's capable of. I know that he likes to work with practical like props and ships and actual things. But as far as the filmmaking goes, I was blown away, but on a mild scale. I wasn't like, holy shit, this is amazing. However, in as far as war movies goes, and the editing structure of this movie,
right?
Over the moon. I didn't know what to expect going into this. I thought I was going to be seeing a Christopher Nolan war movie, right? And it was experimental. I actually went and read, and he actually admits, he's like, this is by far my most experimental film. Fuck yes, it is. It's unbelievable what he had the temerity to try to do with the editing, and I think for the most part it was very, very successful. Now, I've heard some people complain that they had a hard time following it. Right in the beginning of the movie, he lets you, first of all, his use of, or lack of exposition is just marvelous. I mean,
you dive right in.
Leaflets flying from the sky. You pick it up. You see what's going on. That's all you need to know.
Right.
And then Kenneth Branagh kind of talks a little bit about numbers and whatnot. But, on the screen, we see the text, the mole, essentially land, 1 week. And then we get the sea, right? 1 day.
Right.
And then we get the air, 1 hour. He's going to tell these three stories on top of each other, and he's going to have to bounce around the time a little bit, but he does so, and he didn't have to. It would have still been compelling and nerve-wracking and tense had he not done that, but I think that definitely added to the tension for sure.
That's where you and I diverge, and I feel the exact same way you did when you said he didn't have to. The story would have been no more or less dramatic if he
It would have been less dramatic.
I disagree. I think he actually undercut a lot of the drama by messing with the timeline. Like, I understand the ambition. I understand the experimental part of it. But to me, added nothing to the storytelling.
Where did the timeline screw with you?
What do you mean?
How did you get... what I'm hearing is you might have been confused.
I mean, I caught on pretty quickly. Like, right away, they let you know that one setup, I guess, setting takes place in a week, one setting takes place in a day, one setting takes place in an hour. And it was pretty clear which was which. The characters didn't really overlap for the most part. But the drama was kind of under... There were individual scenes were dramatic and tense, but overall, I didn't follow like a dramatic arc. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, now we're somewhere else. Oh,
which was
this
equally as interesting, or just as tense, or just as dire.
I found it needlessly elaborate.
Okay, so would you have rather had him just told the film in three chapters, all their own chapter? So no, we just were on the mall for a week.
That would be too elaborate too. Why not just tell these things happen at the same time? Why not in the course of this happening?
Then you have to connect them all, and they don't always connect. That's Tom Hardy's story in the air, which is an hour long, which we see for an hour's worth, right? Because that's all the time they have in the air. That does intersect with what's happening at the sea with Rylance, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the one place where I was like, hold. Well, didn't we already see this? Oh, yeah, but we saw it from the point of view of Tom Hardy's character. Now we're going back in time and seeing
more. More than once. We saw Cillian Murphy a couple times.
Maybe like once or twice where they intersect, where like the axes intersect. But it's really rare. It's very rare in this movie that they intersect. And to me, for him to... And the movie's an experience. I mean, it's all about the feeling of what it might have been like to be in one of either air, land, or sea. And
that's also true.
That's what Dunkirk was all about. Those were the three main components of the story of what happened at Dunkirk. They a lot of stuff in the air, a lot of stuff at sea, and obviously a whole lot of shit on the land.
I agree with that.
And the only way to tell that story, I think,
you think it's the only way?
Well, I just asked you, like, would you want to do three separate chapters, or would you want to have like one story through line where it's like
Wouldn't it have been so much more? Far be it for me to criticize Christopher Nolan or suggest a more dramatic way to tell a story, but would not it have been more dramatic to have the story of the mole, the longer story, like looking so bleak there towards the end, but with Tom Hardy coming in to sort of save the day, in a sense? Would not have been like a much more naturally dramatic arc?
And then we only see Tom Hardy like at the very end then, or we see him a couple times.
Towards the end, because that's when his character exists in that world.
This is not like a hero's journey. Like, this is not like Hollywood schlock.
No, it's not.
This movie is experimental.
Yeah.
It's an experience film. You don't need like a story, like a through line, like you'd expect. Like, you wouldn't even, like, you know, as great as Saving Private Ryan is, it's got like some impossibly, you know, attractive people in it wandering around looking for siblings. And it's so like,
it's a very different movie.
Like, this one, I was on that beach. Like, I felt the intense... I feel bad for insects because they find themselves on the water quite often, right? And getting picked off by fish.
And birds.
They find themselves on land getting picked off by birds, right?
Sure.
That's what the guys at Dunkirk were dealing with. Like, they were getting picked off by the air, and then as soon as they get in the water, U-boats. And we haven't even mentioned the choice of not seeing the enemy at all. And I'm not going to say, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
But the enemy doesn't get their...
It's a faceless enemy.
A faceless enemy, but it's an impending, constant doom coming from all angles.
Everything you're saying it makes sense. It just, for me, it didn't add up. It didn't crest. And again, I think this is a good movie. I still think this is 3 out of 5. I would not put this anywhere near the top of Christopher Nolan's best movies.
This is second for me.
Really?
A pretty big gap with Dark Knight. Dark Knight is still just, you know,
think this is
exceptional.
You think this is better than Memento? You think it's better than
Memento had
Inception? And you think it's better than Batman Begins?
Ah, man, Batman Begins. Yeah, I like it more than Batman Begins. This is one of my favorite war movies. And you know what
I'm jealous of you. I wish I had seen it the same way you did.
You know what
I saw it in glorious 70mm, too. It was quite a scene.
I will be seeing... This is the first movie I've seen all summer, or all year, actually, that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see this one again. Because I do need to pick up on... I need to like sit down and figure out if the score actually does drop out. What was I going to say? I was going to say something very, very important.
I have a question in the meantime.
Very thoughtful.
A legitimate question that bothered me. Not bothered me, but...
We haven't gotten to the worst parts of the movie yet, and there are some nitpicks, for sure. Picks.
It's funny. I didn't even hate the nitpicks. Nitpicks to me were just, all right, I mean, he's an ambitious filmmaker. He's going to, you know, if you're swinging for the fences, you're going to strike out a couple times.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say.
Go ahead. I don't interrupt you.
When's the last time you saw a war movie that didn't try and be like anti-war or pro-war?
You don't think it was anti-war?
I think it was just a slice of life. I don't think it was trying to say one or the other. It was just like a slice of life. Like, war sucks.
It was a pretty relentless assault. Like.
Oh, it was absolutely relentless, but it wasn't. Never got preachy.
True. Yeah, true. Didn't it? Did well. Not only
imagine Oliver Stone making this.
It didn't have a plot. There was literally no plot. Describe the plot of the movie.
The plot is survival. I mean, the plot is a slice of life.
And you can make good movies out of plot. I'm not criticizing it on its face.
I don't think this needed plot. I mean, it's a real basic, like, you know, high concept film. Which is these guys.
That's interesting. Is it high or low concept?
It's high concept. It's just survival. It's just these guys are trapped on the beach for the most part, and they're trying to survive, trying to get off the beach. That's it.
Yeah, I guess in that sense it is. So take any of the main characters, any of the main characters. Describe them, not using physical descriptions, but their traits.
Well, Tom Hardy, he's just Tom Hardy, but he's less Tom Hardy in this because once again, his face is masked much. I don't know what Nolan has against those luscious lips, but Bane and now this, covering up those lips.
That's
what are you
doing? Don't bury the lead.
They're not, aside from
the word brave.
They're every man, which is fine for me because I don't. I did not need to follow a story in this movie, which is really rare.
Good.
I did not need to care about characters because I cared for myself.
No wonder you like it so much.
I put myself in the situation. Like I filled in the gaps. Because of their blankness, I think I could relate to them and kind of sit in with them and be them almost. Like I didn't need some American hero. You know, heroic tale.
I agree. I'm not necessarily begging for, you know.
I think the more the
guy wielding a sword,
the less Matt Damon they are, and the more, you know, even though we had a Harry Styles in there, the more nondescript they were just like every man trying to get away from the enemy, which was ensuing and just constantly like battering. It was like you said, it was unrelenting.
Well, I'm glad
we've had a lot of unrelenting movies the last couple of years, and yes. This is right up there.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. I wish I had liked it as much as you. Still think it's good, just not didn't move me.
Okay, the scene in
and there were parts that were very impressive.
There's one
Devil is Due
scene with a beach ship that Harry Styles and a few guys get into. I don't think that was shot.
It was a bit of a silly scene.
It didn't really even make sense then when they were out to sea. Like, that was kind of weird. It didn't add up. That scene just did not add up for me. And then, once again, Christopher Nolan, almost like he's an alien or just devoid of emotion, once it comes to like working with large groups of people, and apparently he studied a lot of silent film. This felt like a silent film.
At times it did. There was very little dialogue.
But when you'd see like big sweeping shots of like a bunch of guys, like a bunch of soldiers on a destroyer, they were all like just, you know, devoid of emotion. Or they were all cheering at the same pitch in the exact same way.
Right.
It just didn't feel real. And Hans Zimmer, we haven't even talked about Zimmer's score.
Right.
This thing, it definitely accompanied and made the tension that much better, for sure.
Sure.
It worked really well for it, until it didn't. And there was another scene that made me kind of not real happy with the emotion and it telling me how to feel.
Yeah.
And that's what, it was like a punch in the face almost.
Yeah, the thing with the one kid on the boat, we just felt, why?
Which kid on the boat?
I don't want to say which kid, but the
oh, Cillian Murphy's
kid. Cillian Murphy's kid.
Yeah, well, I understand that sacrifice. But and then the forever gliding plane. I'm not going to say anything more about that, but it just glided forever, and that was Nolan doesn't ask you to like. Well, I guess he does.
Suspend belief.
Yeah, I guess he does. I'm thinking of Interstellar now. Inception. I had some big problems with Inception.
Inception is the entire movie hinges on a suspension of disbelief. Like, it's not important how they fall asleep. They take a cocktail of drugs.
They're
in each other's dreams.
And the one thing that like makes them wake up is essentially turbulence. And they do it to the guy on the plane. Right. What? That makes no sense.
God forbid. Jet stream comes by.
No,
well,
this is
our mission's over.
This is one of the best war movies I've ever seen. And seeing it on IMAX, I think it's a bit of cheating, but that's what filmmakers do. They're always cheating, trying to get you to feel emotion with their craft. And his large format is fucking glorious. And the sound, evidently some Dunkirk survivors went and saw the premiere. And their one complaint was that it was louder than the actual Dunkirk experience that they went through from their memory.
Well, I hope people like it as much as you. That would be my wish.
I didn't know what to expect, you know, and I was very pleased to see that it wasn't sappy or saccharine filled I'm glad there wasn't much of a story there because I don't think there's so many countless stories. You don't tell one. You know what I mean? There's so many.
They didn't
stories.
Tell one.
That's what Hollywood usually does. Though. They'll take one guy. This is the America or the English hero.
But
in
that's
this
exactly
sense.
The Mark Rylance stuff.
So you get a little bit of that if you need that. Yeah.
That was actually my favorite part of the movie was his vessel.
I thought that was the most Hollywood part of the movie, and I liked it. It was good, but I liked it much more in the air on the land.
Well, the dog fighting was the most spectacular. I thought was the most spectacle.
One last thing, because we're about to move on. We're about to dovetail into a very, very different movie.
Very different.
And talking about CGI, and we live in the age of CGI, right? And people have been using CGI, but I guess ever since Jurassic Park, it's kind of been a staple, in especially summer movies, right?
Yeah, before then, The Abyss.
Well, obviously, it was around before then, but it's like a staple now.
Sure.
Right? Jurassic Can't make Park, a summer put it on the map. Yeah. Most filmmakers use CGI, as Luc Besson did with Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets we're about to speak about, to add. And what good old Christopher Nolan here did was he used it almost entirely to subtract.
How so?
Because there were modern structures out there.
Oh, the background is. Oh, yeah.
He
okay.
used that to map stuff out and to mat stuff out and get rid of it rather than to add, you know, spinning robots that are fighting one another in
that
the sky.
That would have helped a lot.
And I also read like he used some cardboard cutouts. Like to, you know, fill in some of the tanks and some of the vehicles and the soldiers because they didn't have enough to, you know, to actually make the 300,000 or whatever that were on that beach. And I asked Mickey about that. And I said, do you have to deal with any of those? And he said, no, but I watched them flying away a lot. They didn't get to use them because it was just the conditions were so windy. No, I if this movie is not up for Best Picture, we got a really good year ahead of us.
Wow.
I won't be shocked, but I'll be very upset if it's not up for best editing because this is experimental editing. He's trying things that you don't see very often, and I think he was for the most part successful.
All right. I would be surprised if it was up for best picture, but
I'll be very
it.
Surprised if it's not up it. For best picture.
You assigned me a film.
I was prepared to
Unseen.
Hate too.
Unseen. You were prepared to hate Valerian?
No, I was prepared to hate Dunkirk.
Really? Why?
Dunkirk. PG-13. I've been talking about it for a while. Like I was concerned with the rating. You don't make PG-13 war movies.
They did.
Ah, oh, shucks. I got to get out of here. Germans are after me. Ah.
Oh, heck. Nelly. You're Sammy Valerian.
You know how he got around it? He just didn't have anyone talk. Because if they were talking, you'd hear a lot of fucks.
Everywhere. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, aka Valerian. They've kind of retooled the marketing campaign. Ran and directed by Luc Besson, starring Dane DeHaan, our favorite Dane DeHaan, star of Chronicle. Hasn't done a whole lot since then.
No.
He was in Cure for Wellness. Did you even see that?
No, I did not see that.
Neither
I did see Place Beyond the Pines.
He was in that?
Dane DeHaan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that before Chronicle?
No.
Oh.
You didn't like
Place
Beyond
like
the Pines.
The Pines.
So there's something
was
wrong
with
you.
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
and,
he was the son.
Cara Delevingne. Clive Owen. When I saw Cara Delevingne, I saw her on screen. I saw the name. I'm like, I know that name. And I saw her on screen. I was like, I know that face. Oh, no, it's the Enchantress from Suicide Squad. I was very worried. Hmm. Very worried.
I didn't realize that was her. Yeah.
The Enchantress.
I thought that she was an eyebrow model.
She is a model.
Her eyebrows are
She's a runway model. And she owns those big eyebrows.
She really does.
Clive
she's stoic.
Owen, Rihanna, and Ethan Hawke are also in this.
Stoic.
Anderson, a feast for the eyes.
Oh, my God.
A feast for the senses.
Holy shit.
Fills the screen.
Yeah.
Now, this movie comes in at 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Which is insane. I really like this movie.
Oh, did you?
I really enjoyed it.
I am shocked.
I really enjoyed it.
As I'm watching it, because I know that I assigned it to you.
I really liked it.
I'm ready to defend this movie to the death.
Me too.
I think that Brian's going to give me a lot of shit.
No, I liked it quite a bit.
If you like this, wait till you see Fifth Element from beginning to end, Brian.
I know.
Wait.
I got home, and I was doing my research on this movie. I'm like, I really enjoyed this. And I'm thinking, like, I like this more than Dunkirk. It's crazy. I enjoyed it. No, sit down. I enjoyed it more than Dunkirk. I don't think there's any chance of being up for any kind
Dunkirk's
of...
Dunkirk's not meant to be enjoyed, Brian.
Well, I enjoyed this
more.
It's
meant to be experienced.
But either way, I'm like, this is like a four-star movie. Four to five-star movie.
The douchiest thing I've ever said on this show.
Dunkirk's not meant to be enjoyed.
It's meant to be experienced, Brian. You don't understand.
Got home and
it's
was
true,
shocked
though.
To find out on Wikipedia that it is at 54% rotten. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Well,
that
I think it's
shock.
Pretty simple. Why?
Why?
Dane DeHaan, who
I liked
in Chronicle, he was awful in this.
No, he was not.
I don't
not.
Remember. Both of them were not good.
He was sort of playing an archetype this of like the two. He played like a young Han Solo.
This was so poorly cast. And I blame it on.
Cara Delevingne was.
The French, perhaps. Luc Besson, not quite having his pulse on the American culture like he may have used to. And also, I don't know if you caught this in the beginning.
But I didn't like Clive Owen.
Produced. Yeah, Clive Owen did not work. Mm. It was just not
a that character wasn't very good.
Out of five jokes, one of them worked maybe. And in Fifth Element, about three out of five worked. There's a lot of goof from Luc Besson. He's a goofy guy. You can tell.
It's a tongue-in-cheek movie.
A lot of tongue-in-cheek. And a lot of the jokes are just so bad. And some of the dialogue is just painfully awful.
Ethan Hawke did the best he could. And
he was good in it.
He was good. I think the role was supposed to be juicier, and he acted as he vamped his ass off. But at the end, it felt like a very silly character. Even though I kind of enjoyed it, I was like, oh, that was.
Now, did you catch the opening title producer sequence that had all the Chinese characters in it?
Yes.
I don't know if this movie is really made with the states are in mind, but I don't think it's the first place they have in mind when they made this.
You might be right,
and I think it's going to play a lot better overseas.
You might be right.
And it's a shame because I like this movie a lot too, but I could not. I thought I liked
it. You thought
DeHaan.
I wouldn't like it?
I thought you would hate it.
Why?
Dane DeHaan is
what qualities of it?
Can we rename him Keanu
he
DiCaprio?
Was very Keanu.
He's Keanu DiCaprio. Keanu. He looks like a young Leonardo, and he sounds just like Keanu.
Yeah.
What an unlikable little prick he is throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, I thought he was doing an archetype of a almost too cool, like a Han Solo archetype, like the scruffy nerf herder.
When Ethan Hawke shows up, I'm like, he'd be better. Like, just make a story like he doesn't care about authority or something. Right. So that's why he's kind of still. I just did not care about Dane DeHaan's character.
That was the least of my issues with the movie.
That's the biggest issue by far.
A lot of similarities to Guardians of the Galaxy. It's just in scope and tone.
To Star Wars.
Of course.
You remember when Lucas was talking about how the new Star Wars...
I love the... hold on. I'll say in a second. Go ahead. Yeah, Lucas,
the new Star Wars was going to have like... it was just every frame was going to be filled with like characters and CGI. Like, he did not accomplish that.
Like, this is what he
Luke
wanted
Besson
to...
Yeah,
this is what he envisioned.
This. Like, what a feast for the eyes. Like you said, so much eye candy.
I expect many technical Oscar nominations despite the fact that it's not performing very well. I mean, it would be crazy if this wasn't up for visual effects and production design and costume and makeup. It was a feast. I mean, I saw it in the Dolby Cinema over there at the AMC, like the big one, and it was... Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, okay, so I saw...
The Atmos.
I saw it in the Dolby Cinema, and it was glorious, and then the sound went out right as the third act was starting.
That might have made it better, actually, because you don't hear the dialogue that way.
And they actually said, sorry, we'll have to refund you your money, blah, blah, blah. And I was walking out of theater. It's a 15-plex. And so there was a movie, there was a showing that was starting 45 minutes later. So it was concurrently running 45 minutes behind.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I got out of there and used the restroom, I popped in. It was in 3D. So I grabbed a pair of 3D glasses.
Yikes.
I watched. I don't know if it was just me not enjoying the third act because of this, or if the third act really did fall off a cliff a little bit, but the third act to me felt very weak. And I don't know if it was the jarring going from one great screen to one crappy screen, but I think the third act was a little weak.
I'm trying to remember the third act because
that's where there's a big shootout and they're trying to save the little Avatar people, the Na'vi.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the whole thing kind of fell off. It was another unrelenting film. I mean, there was just nonstop things to look at and characters.
I love
a couple loose ends, which is weird. You never see them in big Hollywood movies. But the Jabba the Hutt character, I will find you, I will kill you.
The John Goodman character.
Never see him again. That is weird.
I love that whole
sequence. He promises that he's going to come, and you're waiting for that guy.
In the bazaar.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, after that,
I fucking love that whole sequence.
I don't think the movie ever really got to that great. That was the high point for me. Kind of like Baby Driver a couple weeks ago. Like, that first chase scene was the high point for me, and then it never really got back to that again.
It was Gore Verbinski-esque, and it was just such a great,
it was so clever,
kinetic scene.
This movie is just filled with really smart people at the heights of their craft doing what they do best.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. What was I going to say?
The characters just blew.
I love the three little guys, the little, deal-maker
awesome.
Guys. They were fantastic. I love those guys.
But imagine this movie if it was written better and actually it was made. Once again, I just don't think it was made for an American audience. I think maybe this is what the idea of American heroes and characters are like.
But structurally,
for other parts
it's
of
very
the,
much
parts of the,
American movie.
Parts of the world. Yeah, it's almost like a cliched.
Yeah, it's got Western ups and downs. You know, the partners that go into, do their, ride into town to clean up, and then they got another assignment, whatever, the Rangers or whatever.
But imagine if this was written with a sharp tongue and some really...
Yeah, it could have used...
It could have been great.
Could have used a slap of paint on the dialogue.
It could have been great. It could have been really, really good.
That said, I enjoyed it, and I recommend people see this movie. Don't be scared off by the Rotten Tomatoes score. I quite enjoyed it.
No, and if you see it, definitely get out and see it on the big screen and try to avoid the old 3D over there. But there's a lot of eye candy. And you know what? I did like the last part with him going through walls, and there's constantly something to look at.
Yes.
You're never not
looking at something semi-amazing / amazing.
A long movie, never looked at my watch.
Yeah, actually, neither did I.
It's 2 hours, 17 minutes.
Until I had to leave the theater.
And so Brian saw it in kind of adverse circumstances.
But first two acts were glorious.
Third one, not bad. It does not fall off.
I could have been affected by having to move to another theater.
I just did not care about them. There was like a love story, which was completely absurd and over the top and ridiculous and inappropriate.
That felt forced, and I felt like it could have been a lot better. Like with the
by the time they kiss, like you're supposed to be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the situation they find themselves in, this natural drama. You know what I mean? Like, there should have been more.
I think that the other parts of the world are going to see this, and they're going to enjoy it twofold because it's like dumb American movies, right? And even though it's made by a Frenchman.
It has a lot of the hallmarks, yeah.
I do think there's some tongue-in-cheek, some dirty work going on against the Americans here.
There was the Rihanna character had a few pointed, you know what I mean? She was an illegal, undocumented immigrant.
Yeah, it did feel anti-American.
There were some jabs. I don't know. I wouldn't go that far, but there were some pointed jabs.
Just having
pointed.
Keanu DiCaprio as your lead, I think, is a little bit taking a jab at the old states right over here. No. Don't. Yeah,
Logan, see one of these
Ethan
movies?
Hawke would have been better.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke would have been better.
See Valerian.
My God. Oh, Tom
both,
Hardy.
Both were sick.
Imagine you just kind of tweak the story a little bit. Tom Hardy's the lead.
Oh, yeah, it needed to be a younger guy, didn't it?
Yeah, because of the story. He tweaked the story, though.
Oh,
like, maybe he's just anti-authority, and he's really good at what he does, but he's never really moved up the ranks.
Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron, they're reunited.
Oh, what was with the Asian dude? Is that okay to say Asian?
Yes. Oriental.
The Asian guy that was in, like, Logan, he was always on the bridge.
What's that?
The Asian guy was
he was like the second command.
Maybe the worst actor I've seen in recent memory.
No.
He was awful. What's happening there?
He was all exposition. He was Captain Exposition.
Yeah.
He was the character. Captain, they're in the alleyway.
I think he might have had cue cards that he was reading.
They're in the gangway.
I feel like, he's explaining, like, you are not allowed to have that because you were only 4-star general. Must be 5-star.
Huh. Maybe he was an android.
Maybe he's a big star overseas.
That could absolutely be true.
I got this whole theory. You know what? Edge of 17, same thing. I think it might have even been the same production company. I can see the emails coming into my my email right now letting me know all about this production company. But it was an Asian, I believe Chinese, Hong Kong maybe, production company.
This is also, I believe, an independent movie, technically. So I read it was the most expensive independent movie ever. Like, Luc Besson self-financed it, or he didn't sell. He tracked down the financing himself. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Based on a graphic novel with a better name.
Valerian and Laureline?
Yeah. Why not just call it that?
Yeah, I think they had trouble with the title.
We didn't even talk about the story or anything. We didn't give it its fair due. And I think the less you know about this movie,
I agree.
With most movies.
But it's also Thousand Cities. The broad strokes are very familiar.
Just 400.
Oh, I love the opening montage.
It's fun. Yeah,
I loved
it's a lot
it.
Of fun. 400 years from now, the International Space Station is so large and has so many different species and people,
aliens,
planets and aliens. That there's a thousand planets represented,
right.
Essentially, is what the title of the film is about.
Yes, and now must be moved, and there's a whole mystery.
I think this movie is going to make its money back plus some, just not here.
You're probably right.
It's unfortunate.
I don't understand that. I wonder what the critics' problem with this movie
is. Dude, it's Keanu DiCaprio. That's the fucking problem.
That can't be the
And she's not much better. Dude, I like this guy, but not in this role. He is awful.
I didn't have that much, but I
imagine someone you really don't like.
Hmm. All right.
Now put them in that role.
You wouldn't be that bad. I mean,
everyone saw a mile away. All right. That was low hanging fruit.
I'm not going to say it.
High standing business.
Don't say it. Coming up next.
He was trying to be like annoying.
You're talking about
Keanu DiCaprio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying.
I think I kind of agree.
What if he was doing something kind of good, and then like Luc Besson comes on and goes, no, more
cookie, how you Americans say, cookiness.
Yes, typical American, please.
How you Americans say,
be more hateable.
Bravado, mega.
Yeah. And he didn't even say anything clever or funny ever once. Oh, you know my favorite thing was the one creature that had her in trying the different dresses on. Making the faces.
That was great.
That was so much fun.
That's so great.
I'm glad you liked it.
That's a fun movie.
It's shocking that you like this more than Dunkirk. I feel like I can't do the rest of the show.
Such a hard distinction for me to make. First of all, given the choice to see one again, I'm choosing Valerian for sure. Mm-hmm. It's a much more fun movie.
So, Brian, it's like you've just taken a step back, evolutionary.
Was it? Oh, really?
Doing really well. Like, you're learning movies and you're getting a bit, your taste
damn
is evolving.
You were just praising him for it, too.
I know.
Oh, 10 minutes ago.
Damn it.
And here we go.
Maybe I'll make up for it in the top five. Coming up next. How you doing with the heat, Anderson? Where you live?
Fine, I'm fine.
Really, is it not too hot up there? It was hot a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the heat sucks. All right, what do you want? The worst part is trying to cool the house down.
What are you
That's
doing?
The worst
part. Are you doing box fans? Are you doing air conditioning? Window mounting?
Going
units?
Outside?
Going outside? Yes. Dip in the pool?
Yeah, splash some water on the.
Savvy.
Just sit in front of a
ooh,
fan.
That's nice.
I don't like to have to like the boy goes down. It sucks. I got to like cool down the entire house for just his little room.
Yeah.
So I find myself wasteful. Constantly running around, closing vents and whatnot. Yeah, ooh. I feel like I'm an engineer again.
You know what you could do? Someone got clicked through our Amazon banner and got two Holmes twin window fan with comfort control thermostat.
Oh, that's
you
smart.
Want to cool like one room at a
right.
time.
Right,
you
know right, right.
I mean? You got two of them.
Yes.
Smart purchase, especially for this time of year. Other things purchased through the Amazon banner on AndersonandBrian.com. Mm-hmm. People click through and bought all sorts of fun things, including our hard disk drive purchaser bought 85 Western Digital 2 terabyte purple surveillance hard disk drives and 10 Western Digital purple 3 terabyte surveillance hard disk drives. Thank you
tight.
For clicking through for your big purchases. We appreciate that. Someone got an Apple 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. An Acer 37.5-inch ultra-wide QHD FreeSync monitor was purchased. African licorice sticks. Sounds dirty. 1 pound. Of African, what African licorice different than other kinds of licorice, perhaps? I'm guessing.
Maybe they use real sugar cane.
Oh, I like that. iRobot Roomba 960 robotic vacuum, a Nintendo Switch with neon blue and neon red Joy-Con, a Canon document scanner, Zynus memory foam 12-inch premium ultra plush cloud-like mattress in queen size mattress, a Renfo Bluetooth body fat scale. I don't know if I'd want my body fat scale to like talk to my phone like, hey, if you see this guy eating, like cut him off. He's overweight. I don't know if I want that. I want my devices talking. I want my scale to like mind its business.
This is a bit you're doing?
No, I'm serious. Is it? Why is it funny?
Feels like a bit.
No. Okay.
No.
I'll work.
But as funny as Valerian.
I'll workshop. Keanu Leo. Keanu DiCaprio. What do you call
him? Keanu DiCaprio.
Keanu DiCaprio.
Yeah.
What is this here? A Koolaroo Ultra Shade Sail Kit Rectangle 18 by 10 feet. That's one of those like, you know, stretchy canvases you put over the backyard to keep the sun out instead of an umbrella. Just hangs up there. A Scepter 32-inch curved monitor, full HD, 1080p HDMI television. A Swagtron Swagboard electric longboard, motorized electric skateboard, wireless LED remote.
Yeah. Careful.
A Garmin Forerunner 35 watch. Plantronics Voyager Legend Bluetooth headset. Sterling Silver Tree of Life pendant necklace. Someone got to, ooh, this reminds me. School. People are scared. What?
Tree of Life?
What? Tree of Life pendant necklace.
Okay,
that's just a common phrase. Someone got the Geometry Student Works Plus CD-ROM. There's going to be books that need to be purchased soon, as well as a Southwest Airlines gift card for $100. Thanks for clicking through and shopping through us. We appreciate it. Hey, how about some movies?
You are now free to move about the country.
That's right. Ding.
Bing. Here are the movies that were clicked through since the last time I saw you. Miller's Crossing. Going back to the old school Coen Brothers. Gotta love that. I love how the Coen Brothers can vacillate with just like hard-boiled noir films.
Yeah, they'll do
like
genre movies.
Some of the funniest shit. Yeah, the genre's comedy or noir. It's pretty much their only. Mm. They just go back and forth. Back and forth, right? Back and forth.
Like Inside Llewyn Davis. Or A Simple Man.
Inside Llewyn Davis, yeah, I guess it's not really noir.
I know what you mean. They greatly gravitate towards those.
Inside Llewyn Davis is a little bit outside the grid for them, all right? Mm. Terrible example. Thank you for fucking me up. Minority Report was clicked through. I love that movie until the very end. Akira was clicked through, as well as Cave of Forgotten Dreams. One of the only movies that I actually love in 3D, because you feel like you're actually sitting in there. Werner Herzog just lets the camera sit, and you're just like in that cave with the 3D glasses on.
I didn't like it that much, though.
Cave of Forgotten. Yeah. Well, it's the best use of 3D I think I've seen.
Okay.
You don't have any ridiculous things like coming right at you, like, oh, I felt like that finger was going to touch my nose.
Like the end of Valerian for me.
I can't believe you.
I only saw that part in 3. I had to see the end.
Frank was clicked through. Fuck to the yes with the Frank. Oblivion was clicked through. I just came up. The Hateful Eight. The Nice Guys. Oh, Nice Guys. Not bad, you know?
Good movie. Fun
kind of falls apart. Kind of like turns into an episode of Scooby-Doo by the end. But,
it's a madcap.
Lucy was clicked through. Speaking of Luc Besson, little yeah. Lucy right there. Did not hate that Lucy, but like Valerian a whole lot more.
Indeed.
Oh, you know, I was prepared for you to hate Valerian so much that I was gonna have to love it.
Really?
I was prepared.
I'm surprised. It's a good
gotta
movie.
Tell you, I like Dunkirk a little bit more now, knowing that you hate it.
I hate it. Okay, fair enough.
The Girl on the Train, Nocturnal Animals, Fences, Hidden Figures, A Monster Calls, Beauty and the Beast, Split, Lego Batman Movie, Train Spotting, Spider-Man Trilogy, Limited Edition Collection. That's a fucking shame. Thanks for clicking through, but now you own that. The Fate of the Furious, Rocky IV, as well as for a few dollars more. Hey, thanks for clicking through, everybody.
Should I see...
What's the best Tobey Maguire movie ever? I got an answer. You've never seen
it. Off the top of my head, I'd say Spider-Man 2.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I got a lot of emails saying don't waste your time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very surprising. Yeah, yeah. I doubt that.
But I also got an email saying, you got to see Adam's Family. So I, you know, fair mix.
Seabiscuit, I suppose, is up there.
There's only one answer.
It's not Saturday Night's Rules.
No.
What?
Ride with the Devil.
Okay.
Ride with the Devil.
There's only one answer.
It's all about the Civil War. Jeffrey Wright. Black guy, right? Played Basquiat. Yeah, Jeffrey Wright. Ang Lee film, by the way. Ang Lee film.
No interest.
Jeffrey Wright fighting on the side of the South. Apparently that happened.
Yeah, there were.
Apparently that happened quite a bit. Oh, good movie that, Ride with the Devil. Ride with the Devil.
Should I see When a Monster Calls? Do you see that?
It
looked good. It had a good trailer, but it didn't move the needle much.
What is that?
That's where the kid's like he imagines like a tree monster that comes to life.
Oh, yeah, awful.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. I was very excited. It was like my number one most anticipated movie last year.
Oh, really?
I think, yeah. And
yeah, I think it was on my list, too.
It was very upsetting. Oh, yeah. Perfect. It was made for children.
Hi, I'm the Elephant Man. I don't know why I called myself that. My name is John Merrick, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Welcome back. Yes, indeed, it's time to count down movies ruined by high expectations. Mine, Anderson, are all good movies that were unfairly judged by me. Unfairly, because I expected so much from them and they did not deliver just by being good.
Dunkirk number one for you?
Dunkirk is number one through four.
Yes.
For four stars.
I still don't quite understand what your problem was with Dunkirk.
I think we had a long, extended discussion.
Other than you just don't understand it, maybe.
There wasn't a lot to understand.
I don't think you understand
what you're supposed to. It's a bare bones movie.
What you're supposed to get out of it. Oh, but you said it wasn't a high concept.
Yeah, movies can be bare bones without being high concept.
Tough.
That said, it's objectively a good movie.
Which one did you see first, Valerian or Dunkirk?
That's a great question.
Dunkirk. It's an okay question. It's a basic question.
Dunkirk, I think. Yeah, I saw Valerian 2 days ago.
I saw Dunkirk.
Dunkirk on Friday. I saw it when it came out on Friday.
I saw Dunkirk and I was just dreading seeing Valerian. I'm like, it's not.
You signed it to me.
I know, but after I saw Dunkirk, I'm like, I'd much rather just go see Dunkirk again right now. And because I got questions. I got to see it again.
Like, why do people like this so much?
No, that's not one of the questions. That was answered within the first like 15 minutes of the movie. I'm like, oh, I get it. As soon as that first gunfire goes off at his ass when he's trying to, like, you know, get some water on the streets of Paris or French, whatever part of French.
Actually, Dunkirk, I guess.
It would be Dunkirk, yes. Thank you. As soon as that first gunfire goes off, I'm like, holy shit, yeah. I'm there. I'm in there.
It definitely sucked you in pretty quick.
Yeah. Louder than actual gunfire, I think.
Very, very piercing.
I think louder very than piercing. All right, let's do this.
Sound design was excellent.
It really was.
Number five.
I'm going to say right now, mark it, dude. It'll be up for six Oscars. Six nominations.
Might be right.
Six.
Hey, any crossover? I say very, very unlikely.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Ah, no, I don't think so.
Let me hit you with this. Well, let's just get right into it. Number five.
Dunkirk.
88% Rotten Tomatoes.
All right.
Did not meet my expectations. The Simpsons movie from 2007. Very high expectations.
Really? What are they going to do? How is this supposed to live up to, like, what was it, like 12 years, maybe 15 years?
Turns out it can't live up.
Like, there's no way it could even come close.
At that point, it was like 17 years or 18, it bounced to 89 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, all those years of individual episodes that, you know, have been kind of like little molecules in your brain.
You become
just like
part of the zeitgeist.
Every episode, just another little, like, level in your brain of
my
love.
Thought at the time was, they're finally doing it. They finally have a story they like enough, and they're getting all the classic writers together, and it's going to be a glorious coronation. It was okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Not quite as good as I hoped it would. David Silverman directed. Wikipedia lists 11 writers. They apparently, Anderson, spent 6 months discussing a plot, and after settling on a basic outline, seven of the writers wrote 25 pages each separately and reconvened a month later to assemble them into one rough draft.
So they made a mess.
Pretty much. They tried to write it after that like a TV episode, like where they all kind of pitch jokes and everything, and it's just... I guess The Simpsons movie is objectively a good movie. I guess I give it 3 stars out of 5, but certainly.
You know what did deliver, though? Was very similar South Park movie. It did deliver. I think maybe because it got away with a lot more.
Yes. And it also didn't suffer, like collapse under the crushing weight of the expectations. South Park movie was a year into South Park being on the air?
I think a couple years.
Let's go pretty early. Relatively much earlier.
3-4 years.
Relatively much
sooner. Maybe four.
Relatively much sooner.
Number five for me. There's some fucking out of left field movies I got on here. This is one of them. In Bruges.
Yeah, okay.
I know it's a really good movie. I did not get to experience it that way because I bought in and believed that the trailer was telling me the truth, that this was going to be a Guy Ritchie film. Lots. They were using all this fun, like, fast-paced soundtrack. I just watched the trailer earlier today.
I watched all the trailers, too.
They got Pixies music in there with, like, the hype.
It's, like, fun shoot 'em up.
Got some really, like, fun little one-liners. And, like, Ferrell looked like he was going to be hilarious. And I already loved Brendan Gleeson because he was the guy that got crushed the skulls.
Doing this whole thing, like, you come out the whole way first.
And it's just a slow burn. It's a very good movie. I realized that when I was watching it once I switched gears, but it was jarring. Yeah. Like, it took me an entire, probably 30 minutes to be like, okay, that's not what this is back in 2008 when I was still kind of like keen on the old Guy Ritchie over there. I still wanted more Guy Ritchie. I hadn't had my fill yet. He wasn't make Sherlock Holmes do backflips and back in slow motion
things
yet.
Things have changed.
Yeah, they have changed a little bit. Swept Away began that change for me. I never
did
saw.
You know The Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Is that his movie?
Yes. That was good. It was good, yeah. I enjoyed that. Torture scene. Oh, I fucked up hard by not having that torture scene on my top five torture scenes.
Really?
Really good torture scene. Hilarious. The man burst into flames.
Anything else to see? Anything else to say about
In Bruges.
In Bruges?
In Bruges. So, yeah, once I settled in, I'm like, you know what? This is a good movie, but it's been sullied. It's been ruined by trailers. And this is one of the reasons why I don't really look up for trailers anymore. I kind of look down at my phone and avoid them. I still am sitting in front of them, but I don't take them in because they lie, Brian. Mm. They lie. They lie to me. They lie to you. They're liars.
They're designed to get butts in the seats. And so whatever they have to do. And In Bruges is a good example because it's very hard to market that slow burn.
Martin McDonagh is the director of In Bruges as well as the writer. And he's got a new one coming out called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Was he the one who did Calvary?
I believe.
Which you like so much?
No, he did not come. Okay. Yeah, that's racist.
Why?
Because he's just an Irish filmmaker, so you just.
Oh no! I thought Brendan Gleeson was in both because I had made the connection. So I thought
it's Irish. So all Irish people are the same to you?
I guess so. Wow! I really got to rethink my stance.
So three billboards outside of Missouri. One of the chats with Andy, this came up, and I don't want to miss credit. So somebody told me about it. I'm like, three billboards. I hadn't heard of it, and then it came up in my research today. And I'm like, oh, Martin McDonagh is doing it. So he hasn't made a movie since In Bruges, other than Seven Psychopaths.
What is the three?
Seven Psychopaths he made 4 years after In Bruges.
I like Seven
in 2012.
Now that's more of a shoot 'em up, more of the ping 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 that kind of advertised for In Bruges. That's not a thinker at all.
A little more, but it slows down. There's like five different endings, and it got a little bit too meta and clever for me by
the
end. It was overwritten.
Snake eating its own tail.
Overwritten. But
what is the Three Billboards? The
Three Billboards starring Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, and the Dink, Peter Dinklage.
All right.
Look at that. And Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's a mouthful that people are really into fucked up titles these days. They really are. Like Noah Baumbach's new one?
Valerian.
I'll never remember that.
Thousand Planets.
What is Noah Baumbach's new movie? I'll never remember. I'll see it. I'll love it. It could be my favorite movie of all time. I will never know the title. There's like brackets in it. Three Billboards is a darkly comedic drama from, after months have passed without a culprit and her daughter's murder. Whatever. It's going to be another one of these McDonagh-type films.
Gotcha.
And he only makes them every 4 years. It's like the Olympics, Brian.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, now every 2 years. But I know what you're saying.
Almost as much fanfare, too. Hmm. The Olympics, yeah.
Yeah. NBC paying the rights to advertise on McDonagh's films.
You should see the fireworks before his movie gets...
The opening ceremonies. Number four for me.
So excited about that Three Billboards. And I think a lot of people will probably be talking about when it comes out.
Maybe your expectations will be too high.
France.
Were your expectations high for Seven Psychopaths?
Perhaps a little. Sam Rockwell.
See, I didn't have much expectations.
Francis McDormand.
Enjoyed it quite a bit.
Francis McDormand in that three billboards. Hmm. Three billboards. You heard it here. It's probably going to be like a household name by the end of the year.
Is Woody Allen one of the billboards, you said?
Woody Allen's not a billboard. He's a man. He's a writer, director. I was talking to somebody on chat with Andy.
Who are the three people you mentioned? You mentioned Dink.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
We're talking about.
He's a man.
We're talking about Woody Allen the other day, and we're talking about how directors tend to fall off after in De Palma, the documentary De Palma. He brings up a really good point. Directors make their best movies 30s, 40s, and 50s. Woody Allen's still making pretty good movies. I think it's maybe because he found the fountain of youth. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I think that might be.
I
why.
Think you need to spell it out though for people.
I found that fountain of youth. It's inappropriate.
Too soon.
Is it too soon?
Too soon, ye.
Hey, Brian. I don't think I can watch Woody Allen movies anymore. I think I need to
I don't
ban
think
him.
You can enjoy them the same way. Like, you can't enjoy Leonard Part 6 in the same way.
Well, no one enjoyed it in the first place. Leonard Part 6. Yeah, I think I'm done with. I think I'm swearing off Woody Allen movies.
Is Bill Cosby in any other notable movies?
Cafe Society was pretty good.
Leonard Part 6.
That's
a stupid question, but I can't think of any.
Why? You want to be disappointed?
I just can't think of any.
Let's move on.
All right. Off the top of my head. Number four. Disappointed by a movie that clocked in at 83% in Rotten Tomatoes, was nominated for Best Picture, but Avatar was supposed to be the big thing.
People killed themselves because it left theaters. They couldn't go in there and relive it anymore.
No, they did not.
Yeah, I swear.
It was
a real story.
Himself? What?
Ask Logan. He knows. Logan,
is that true?
Logan, he can corroborate my story.
Well, this is the first film for James Cameron since Titanic in 1997. So it was 8 years later.
Oh, that's what I want to say about Dunkirk. Like the ship going down in Titanic, going down, was marvelous, right? It was like, you know, maybe 20 minutes of the movie.
It's a set piece.
Dunkirk, I was thinking as I'm watching, I'm like, this is like the ship going down scene, but it's like for an hour. It's like a full hour. It just keeps going.
I guess kind of.
Absolutely.
This was Titanic. Avatar. Titanic was the biggest movie of all time, and this was his follow-up. 8 years in the making. He took 8 years off. He'd make movies every 2-3 years at that point.
He also said he was going to change cinema forever.
That's right. There was a lot writing on this movie, and it was getting great reviews, and it was like a spectacle, and it was 3 hours, and it was going to be, I think it was an early adopter of 3D. Like, you had to see it in 3D.
This is so weird. Because Titanic was also, James Cameron was also supposed to come up when we were talking about Valerian. I just forgot, but very, very... Avatar-ish at times, right?
Valerian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, those people were Na'vi, essentially.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Avatar. I agree with you.
Yeah, if I had not known who made it or got somehow seen it without any expectations, perhaps I would have liked it a lot more.
Not on my list. You know why? I was angry before it even came out.
Why?
Because he was expounding on how he was going to change cinema forever. It's like, fuck yourself.
The marketing was everywhere. Every commercial on Avatar tie-in. It was... Dude, like Domino's and Taco Bell and shit.
Yeah.
McDonald's or something. I don't know.
Wasn't Judge Dredd the first one to do that really poorly?
Oh, like the
Pizza
Stallone?
Hut
I think in the movie. Yeah. But that was like in the movie. That's product placement.
Number four for me. Yeah, a little different, but still. Number four for me. Yeah, this one, I like this movie a lot. I really do. But shockingly, it's not as high on my list as it probably should be, because everything in 1994 for me, Brian, there's three things that made up 1994. It was Natural Born Killers, Pulp Fiction, and OJ. Like, that's what 94 was to me when I look back, right? And Pulp Fiction just did not live up to my expectations.
I expected this to be on your list, given how you've talked about it in the past.
Now, I know it's one of the most confusing movies you've ever seen.
Truly, I still mystified by it. Can you explain it to me? Can we do a little after episode content?
You're okay with the editing in Pulp Fiction, but not here, huh?
I think I use Pulp Fiction as an example of how the out of order storytelling added to the sort of dramatic arc of the movie and the characters, and Dunkirk did not accomplish that, in my opinion.
It absolutely did.
Did not.
Kept the tension high when it might have
did
dropped
not
off
add
here
to.
So yeah, it's number 95 on AFI's all-time list, American Film Institute's all-time list. It's right in between, sandwiched in between Goodfellas and The Searchers, Brian, that Pulp Fiction is. And you know what's funny is Natural Born Killers did live up to my expectations, because I did see something I had never seen before. It was an insane piece of cinema. And Natural Born Killers, as great as it was, it didn't live up to my expectations, because I was reading shit about it weekly and counting the days till it came out. I can still tell you, October 14th, 1994.
Wow. Think about that.
Pretty sure.
I have another guess for a movie on your list.
No, you don't.
I do. I have a guess. A guess.
Have a clue.
Number three for me. A great marketing campaign, including a great teaser trailer.
Maybe it was October 4th.
Espoused? Yeah, shouldn't use words. I don't know.
Oh, October 14th.
Yeah, you're
fuck
right.
Yes. Vindication.
Delete that guess. Number three. Great teaser trailer. I remember seeing it in theaters and thinking, wow, this is going to be great. And it was okay. Super 8.
You fell for that.
I think a lot of people did. This is a very hyped movie. This was a great teaser trailer. Spectacular marketing campaign. Sits at 82% in Rotten Tomatoes. And yeah, I watched the teaser trailer again today, and it was pretty good. And it says, you know, from J.J. Abrams, who had just come off of Star Trek at that point, and produced by Steven Spielberg. I'm like, I'm in. Wasn't that great?
He must be like the nerd's Jesus at this point, right?
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah. With the Star Trek and the Star Wars? I mean, how many people can do both?
Do you think I was going to say, do you think some people are disappointed?
Joss Whedon did Avengers. Now he's doing Justice League.
Ooh.
So he's kind of...
Whedon's doing Justice League?
Yeah. He took over for Zack Snyder because his daughter killed herself.
Oh, yeah. I knew that about Zack Snyder. I didn't realize that... what's his face was the guy, Joss Whedon.
Yeah, yeah. Joss Whedon took it over.
Is Marvel pissed about that?
I don't know.
Let's not talk about this anymore, okay? Please.
Possibly.
Super 8.
All right. Yes.
Thoughts on Super 8?
I thought it was okay. It was like a decent monster movie. It was.
But your expectations must have been a little high.
It was Abrams trying to be Spielie. Trying his darndest to be Spielie.
Do you remember your expectations going into it?
Hoping that I was going to be taken. It's everything. What I expected to happen was what I got with Stranger Things.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Stranger Things was, hit the mark. It gave me that nostalgic feeling. But
and Super 8 was just kind of okay.
It was all right, yeah.
Maybe I'd like it better if I didn't know anything about it.
Great lens flares. He spent a lot of energy on getting the lens flares right, and I think he might have, let go some of the monster and the. For somebody who likes creatures, so Valerian's where it's at, right? Sorry.
There it is, populated with some stuff you will not see in other movies.
If you can't tell, I'm not really that enthusiastic with this top five this week. I'd much rather talk more about Dunkirk and Valerian for the rest of the episode, but that's not what we do here.
We'll digress.
Number three for me. Number three. 2009 again.
That's what we're doing here, actually.
In Bruges was 2008. Here we go, 2009, the very next year. This is when I was still watching trailers because I was a foolish young lad, Brian. I didn't know the errors of my way. I didn't understand that trailers ruin things. They never add. I could watch a trailer for, I'm going to do it, for Girls Trip. And say, like, you know what? Wow. That's a movie I got to see.
Can we say that?
I can almost guarantee that almost every trailer at some point, like some part of your brain is like, I should probably see that.
Mm.
Right? Almost every movie. Mm. Almost every trailer.
I'm going to stop short because I do try and see every trailer. And there are many I'm like, bleh.
No, at some point in that trailer, your brain is firing. If we could put a little sensors.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Your brain will respond to something in those 2 minutes.
And like trick you into thinking that you need to see it.
You know, I did see a trailer for Daddy's Home 2, and I thought, hey, you know what?
Oh, my God. I found myself retelling Daddy's Home 2 trailer to my mom with glee.
Isn't it? It's a great trailer.
It's a great fucking trailer. it's a really good trailer. And mom always makes me want to watch Daddy's Home or whatever it's called 1 so I can catch up.
Totally should.
Mel Gibson. And as he's coming down, as he's descending that escalator, all I hear are all the horrible things that he said in those messages. Right.
Pack of Anderson.
Oh, it's I need to see. I'm going to see it.
And then Lithgow comes in.
Lithgow is great. Oh. All right, number three for me. Sorry. Bronson 2009. I was sold out.
I love this movie.
I like this movie. It's Nicholas Winding Refn.
This is your favorite movie of all time.
Tom Hardy. I believed it was going to be my favorite movie of all time. I told that to my then girlfriend, who's now my wife. Hey, we're going to see a movie. This might be my favorite movie of all time. They're calling it in the trailer. They're referring to it as a Clockwork Orange for the 21st century. Holy shit.
Wow.
I'm like, this
could be the one.
I didn't even know Tom Hardy at the point. Like, I didn't have an appreciation for Tom Hardy. He was just another
thick
guy with a British accent, right? And I went to see it, and once again, it was a very slow burn compared to that trailer. Watch the trailer. It's cut to Pet Shop Boys. It's a sin all the way through.
It's interesting because I didn't know anything about it when you assigned it to me however many years ago, and I saw it, and I was like, that's interesting.
I think I would absolutely love it if I went back and watched it now because of the Tom Hardy. Oh, just when he gets out of that. I can't say that.
There's interstitials with the makeup and everything on stage where it's a little too
stagey.
They insisted upon themselves.
But I didn't have an appreciation for the Hardy or for Nicholas Winding Refn at the time. Mm. And now, I appreciate both of them, one way more than the other. But I think that if I were to go in knowing what I'm getting, it was streaming for the longest time. I need to sit back down and spend a couple hours with the old Bronson over there. And you know what? It's like a more serious version of Chopper, and Chopper is just so much fun.
That is true. Chopper is much more. You're right. Fun.
It goes down smooth.
You want to hang out with Chopper. You can see yourself hanging out, having a beer with him. I don't know if I want to hang out with Bronson.
Yeah, but I think I might appreciate it more now that I love the Hardy. I think that he might actually have some stuff that I'll accept a lot more now that I love him. Oh, I love him.
Number two for me. Mm-hmm. I'm way too hard on this movie. I've referred to it in the past. I think it was on my list of top five good scenes in bad movies, and it is not a bad movie. But my expectations were way, way, way too high for Zodiac, which we saw together, right?
No.
We saw together.
I don't know, but maybe.
For sure we saw
I
together.
I don't know about that.
I remember.
That one scene
I remember holding hands with a person.
Really good.
I was going, the basement scene?
No. The river scene or the lake scene.
There's a lot of good scenes.
The couple. That,
the basement scene was the best scene in the movie. That's the one.
It almost made my top five stabbing. Go ahead.
Jake Gyllenhaal gets lured down to the guy's basement to come look what I have down here. And it's such a good scene. This was his being David Fincher. David Fincher's first film in 5 years after Panic Room, which I very much enjoyed. And of course, after Fight Club in 7. I was so excited for his next movie. And Zodiac just was one of those slow burns. And I just wasn't ready for it. And I should give it another chance.
The problem with Zodiac is there's
didn't
just,
measure up.
There's
to
no
my
ending.
Expectations.
It's not going to be satisfying because there was
did not satisfy.
It takes balls to take on a project that doesn't have an end.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he did. And
leaves a twist,
sometimes,
and twist into the wind.
Yeah, you can do it with like an ambiguous ending and went up, but
it wasn't ambiguous. I mean, it was, I guess, in a sense.
I guess,
but
JFK
was,
is kind of the same thing.
But at least that trial ends with a verdict.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's
my problem.
Topic. It's
problem.
Right, top five movies that don't end.
Don't like it.
Don't have a proper ending.
I'm not enjoying that one.
Top five unsatisfying endings. Well, that'd be a little spoiler.
That'd be a lot. And I would just put Sunshine 1 to 5.
But they'd be specifically like Zodiac style. Anyway,
number two for me.
89% for Zodiac.
Number two for me. Here's where it gets like big time. Here's where it gets real, Brian. There's a film made in 1942. The American Film Institute calls it the second greatest film of all time.
Okay.
American Film at
Institute?
Least.
AFI.
Michael
the
Curtis.
Second greatest film of all time?
Yeah, AFI.
Okay. Oh, Casablanca?
This is number 34 on IMDb's all-time list, and 97% on the old Rotten Tomatoes over there. And yeah, I'm talking about Casablanca, because I caught up with this. I was a teenager when I watched it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's see what the second greatest movie of all time is. Let's see. And oh, was I underwhelmed. I don't even remember the story.
Yeah,
it's about, say...
I have a shameful admission when it comes to Casablanca. I went to see it on a Valentine's Day. Remember at CineSpace on Hollywood Boulevard, they used to have dinner and a movie. You ever go there?
No, it's hipster shit.
It was actually pretty fun. But yes, they you'd sit in a small theater, but they were set up with tables and you'd watch a classic movie or whatever movie or new movie, depending on what event it was. And Valentine's Day, they did Casablanca. Mm. And I went with my girlfriend at the time and I was like, this is great. I've never seen it. I should see it. This is 2003. Four, something like that. And I was like, oh, this is great. I've never seen it. We should see it. And okay, great. We sat right front and center on a medium-sized screen, so it wasn't overwhelming.
Right.
But the speaker above us, the center channel, was blown out, and it was all fuzzy. So all the dialogue was...
play it again, sir.
You know, there's a lot of interference.
That's fucking really impressive that you could pull that line. And of all the lines in that movie, the fact that you could pull that line is impressive.
Oh, really? You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
You must have seen it a few times.
There was also one, I think it was, this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
What?
This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play it again, Sam. Maybe the most quoted line in the
which
film
is not
history.
Actually in the movie. The quote is not in the
really?
Film.
Really? Is it not?
It's like some version of that.
Speaking of Sam, that was my favorite part of the movie. Was Peter Lorre's character, Sam.
So
we don't see him much.
I saw a bastardized version, and I didn't get the proper. But anyway, I hijacked your number two or number whatever it was.
I mean, I don't really have much more to say about it. It's just like it's something about Humphrey Bogart, and he's hanging out with Bergman, and
it's
like,
World
they
War
like
II,
her,
right?
And it's World War II, and they're in Casablanca, and
is it World War II? It is World War II.
He owns a...
World One?
It looks... Brian, settle down. You know, it looks like the sets from Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, and he owns a night... Would you shut the fuck up?
Front help.
And he owns a nightclub or something. I saw it. A couple times, I had to see it again in film school, and it never.
Is it Nick's Cafe, Rick's Cafe American?
I don't ask me.
Someone's Cafe American.
It's overrated, and I did not enjoy.
I think it's
and
Rick's.
I was excited because I'm like, hey, I like me some classic film.
Sure.
Actually, this is one of the first classic films I ever saw. Maybe I should go back.
You wanted to like some classic film.
Maybe I should go back and see it again.
What was your problem with it? It was just kind of, didn't live up to the hype.
I don't think I like Bogart. I mean, I know it's blasphemy to a lot of people, especially our older listeners, but Bogart has never... I fucking hated the African Queen. Like, I just wanted that little boat to capsize and both of them just get eaten by alligators. Alligators in Africa? The only thing that I've ever really loved Bogart in is when he's playing kind of like a mischievous character, like in Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Like, I really liked his character in that. He just doesn't do it for me as an American... good guy, like a protagonist, I guess, unless he's doing something conniving. I just don't trust him. And I'm sure it's a generational thing. And
could have been that style of acting back then too.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Things I have a hard time with the dialogue. That's why I think I like silent films just before that era a lot more than I do like the first talkies, because it's just everything was so fucking stiff, you know?
Yeah.
Like I always say, like if movies were still like they are in the 50s, I wouldn't have any interest
in movies.
Really.
You have to have an affinity for those types of movies.
I watched one.
Them.
Movies are just, back then they were just, and I know we get shit for not going back and, you know, I've watched all the films on AFI's list. I did my homework and I went to film school. Obviously, I saw a ton of old shit there. But like I watched one called Compulsion the other day. Okay. You ever heard of Compulsion?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Orson Welles. My mom was staying at my house. I'm like, you know, I'll watch an old film. I think it was 1949. Young Dean Stockwell's in it, which was exciting to see. Like,
oh,
really
wow.
Young. Yeah. And it's awful. It's just fucking awful. Like, I don't understand. Like, here's the movie. It's a true story. Based on a true story. There's something that happened in the 1920s. And these two, like, well-to-do, like, frat boys, essentially, both sociopaths, they go out and they kill just to see what it feels like to kill, right?
Did not appreciate your jag on frat boy.
You're probably, definitely.
So far, they sound like the heroes of the story.
So, yeah, the heroes. You're definitely relating to them. And they want to kill. It's one of those age-old things. They kill just to see what it felt like to kill. And then there's a trial. And this is all, like, actual fact. And, you know, it's starring Orson Welles. Orson Welles shows up for the trial. He's their lawyer. He's great as their lawyer, but he doesn't show up to like the third act. And then he talks as the lawyer for about 20 minutes. Like, he just talks, Brian. Like, he's the only one talking now. Like, he just talks as their lawyer for 20 minutes, and then the movie ends. That was the whole fucking movie. Like, movies just sucked back then. I'm sorry, but they just sucked. I fucking hate movies.
I think you're
going to
get some angry emails.
The 40s and the 50s was just shit. In the early years, like the 20s, 30s, like they're experimenting, they were doing some really great stuff. And then once it became just like a factory in the studio system and they were just cranking out like four or five fucking movies a week, it's just shit. Fuck those movies. Top five movies from the 50s next week.
We did top five movies set in the 50s. That was a fruitful episode.
Yeah, if movies, and thank God for the French New Wave. Once again, saving cinema, the Frenchies over there. Yeah, but the movies, they blew.
Artists.
Right. All right.
Number one for me, my number one movie ruined by high expectations is a movie I'll catch it on cable every once in a while and I'll think, man, I really wish I liked this movie more because I think it's objectively a very good movie. This should be a 4-star movie. Mm. But my expectations for Prometheus.
Really, Prometheus?
Yes. Oh my God, Ridley Scott, the master of his craft, returning to the franchise he created, Alien, after all these years. Written by Damon Lindelof, co-written, I should say. Long-awaited, often rumored extension of the Alien universe.
What do you like more, Covenant?
No, Prometheus is much better than Covenant.
What?
Yeah, did everyone here see? You saw both, right?
Yeah.
Prometheus is much better than Alien. Covenant.
I really enjoyed Covenant.
Covenant was fine, but Prometheus was much better.
And it's weird that you would say that because I don't think it's true.
Significantly better.
Actually, it's kind of spot on that you would say that. And I think
because
about
it's not true?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Covenant was way more fun. However, while
that
watching
may be
Covenant.
True. Maybe more fun.
While watching Covenant, I'm like, I need to go back and watch Prometheus because I just didn't understand it. Now I will.
Yeah, I wanted to like the movie so much. And every time I see it pop up on TV, I'm like, God, I wish I could start fresh. Mm-hmm. With this one, but I can't.
Yeah, you can.
It's tainted with all the weight of the expectations of the world.
There were some really dumb moments in there too, with like some of the behavior of some of the astronauts.
Wait, in which one?
In Prometheus.
Yeah, more so.
It's like, let's take our helmets off and get close to this strange being in this cave.
In the last two, in Prometheus and in Alien Covenant, both plots are set in motion by people doing things they have no business doing, making very poor decisions.
Poor decisions. I don't like it when your story kind of hinges on people making poor decisions, especially when they're supposed to be smart, like
unmotivated,
astronauts.
Unmotivated poor decisions.
I'm like, fine.
If you're a head case and you do something crazy,
right.
You know what I mean? That's you.
Yeah, you're a heroin addict and you're on the streets and you're going to do something fucking stupid. If you're in space, gravity should have been on my list. Fuck.
Interesting.
It wouldn't have been in my top five, though.
Like in Reservoir Dogs, when they shoot up the diamond store, Mr. Blonde's a maniac.
He's an idiot. Yeah. But if you're fucking like on a spacecraft wearing the helmet and whatnot, and you went through all the training, you're not taking the helmet off in the strange cave to like say hello to some strange creature.
Yeah.
All right. Number one for me. This one came out the year before Casablanca.
Jesus Christ.
Casablanca, Brad. I call it Casablanca because not much is going on over there. This one is number 71 on IMDb's list. It's interesting because Casablanca is number 34.
Yeah, 71.
That's weird. Strange. I can't make any sense of it. However, this one's 100% on the old Rotten Tomatoes over there. Every fucking critic.
Who gave Casablanca a bad review?
Every critic.
And besides Anderson Cowan.
A couple, 97%. This one, though, is on AFI's number one. Number one. We all know now, right?
Gone with the Wind?
I saw this before I went to film school, and I saw it seven more times.
Oh, film school. Kane.
Seven times, Brian. I didn't take that many classes, Brian. I took maybe 40 classes in film school.
Were the expectations what sunk this for you?
I saw it seven times. Each time.
You got something new out of it.
That could be true. But it still doesn't. I understand that at the time it was a marvel. At the time it was doing groundbreaking things with depth.
But there are five or six important movies you didn't see because you saw it seven times.
Yeah, and it was always under different guise. It was like my film writing. It was like, you know, film studies. It was in screenwriting. It was in cinematography. It was just like it kept popping up. It's like, I get it. You guys are a little bit older. You're from another generation. You love this fucking movie, or you're told to love it. But it does not stand the test of time, especially the story. All right? Let's just.
I haven't seen this since college.
I love how he attacked Hearst, and I love how Hearst actually tried to actively get every copy of the prints, every print he could, and he was burning prints because he didn't want the actual story to come out. I loved all that. That's the backstory of Citizen Kane is actually more interesting to me than fucking Rosebud and his goddamn sled.
What? Spoiler alert.
Does anyone care? No one cares. Come on. It's 2017. Right. Let's get past 1941, Orson Welles, goddamn Citizen Kane, all right? Let's admit there's better movies out there. And you know what they did? AFI just did.
What's that?
They just crowned a new number one. I don't know how. I guess because the old voters die and new voters come in. You got the new voters are
Dunkirk?
Going? Oh, they're young. They're hip. Dunkirk. You know what number one is now, Brad, for AFI?
12 Years a Slave.
Oh,
Moonlight.
Cutting Edge.
Avengers.
Vertigo. Vertigo, greatest film ever made.
That's not a bad choice.
Have we seen some of the effects in Vertigo lately?
Well, the effects don't hold up, but the movie's very good.
If the movie's like hinging on effects and that's like a part of the
story. It's not even my favorite Hitchcock movie. Isn't that funny?
That's not really humorous. I mean,
no, isn't that funny that it's not even my favorite?
What is your favorite Hitchcock?
I would put Psycho above it. I would certainly put Rear Window above it.
Psycho.
Dial M for Murder, underrated, which I assigned to you. And you
I liked it. I thought it was okay.
You didn't love.
You're going deep, though, with Psycho and...
Rear Window, Dial M for Murder.
I got one for you.
What is it?
Rope.
Don't say Rope.
Rope. Rope. Rope is so much fun, Brad.
It's gimmicky.
It's so much fun, though. It's compelling. Mm. How are those... Oh, you know what? That's like Compulsion, except it's good.
What's the one on the lifeboat?
African Queen. Fuck that movie.
No. The Hitchcock movie.
I don't know, dude. I'm not a giant Hitchcockian guy, all right? Too sterile for me. It was too precise. You need to have a little more fun.
Mm. He treated his actors like cattle, an old
saying. And everything was shot on stage, never did anything like on location. There was not enough grit in his movies. However, his stories were always the kind of story my mom would like.
Right.
You know? Or your mom. Most moms.
He
Agatha Christie.
He defined a certain kind of modern storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, Hitchcockian is still used to this day.
When I was a little kid, I used to love to watch that Alfred Hitchcock Presents with his lips, with the profile.
That's right.
Love that.
Very fat.
There's a lot of Hitchcock movies I still haven't seen.
I'm trying to think.
I wish I could.
I saw Notorious. I remember almost nothing about it. See the Man Who Knew Too Much? It's kind of a silly one.
And please spare me the emails. I don't want to hear about what the best Hitchcock movie is. Actually, I'm fine with that. Send me an email.
Send all the emails you want. All right, Logan, let's hear the listener top five. How many bad movies did they name?
All right, number five, we have The Dark Knight Rises.
That's a good choice. I almost put that on my list.
Number four, Prometheus.
Yep.
What?
All right, the listeners got it.
Tied for number two.
Brian, I was in mid-sip, so I couldn't react immediately. Brian, stop it.
What?
The listeners got it, you know?
I was afraid the wording was going to trip him up.
Tied for number two, we have Avatar and Napoleon Dynamite.
What? That's the young listeners who have been hearing about Napoleon Dynamite for years. They finally get around to watching it, and they're like, this is like a bunch of other shit that I've already seen on YouTube.
I would consider that one of the contender for my list because that was such a small movie that the only reason we heard about it because oh my god it's so funny oh my god it's so hilarious you got to see it and once you saw it you're like
maybe I got lucky and I got in real early and I was like I was on the fan club and I got a Pedro shirt sent to me.
When you saw it though, you said there were people in the theater that were laughing like at the opening credits and you're like
No. That happened in Juno and that happened with the movie Juno, Juno, Alaska, and that also happened with. The one with the mice are and Wes Anderson's Arrested Development is based. Inspired Tenenbaums. Yes, Royal Tenenbaums people.
The mice was your pull from the Tenenbaums.
Well, yeah, well, because they opening credits. Remember, some mice wandering around the opening credits. People are losing their shit.
Right.
It's like Richard Pryor came out and did a live set for us during the opening credits. People were fucking dying. It's like there's a mouse on the screen. Mm. Everyone settle the fuck down. That's what I said.
So much fun to go to a movie. Number one?
And the number one movie ruined by high expectations, as voted on by our listeners, is Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
Didn't get it.
I'll take 4 out of 5. I'm fine with that. Is there another? What's the next one that got the most votes?
I'll go down some off rounds if you want.
Yeah.
Gravity?
Yeah.
Mm.
I just thought of that one.
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes?
Ooh.
That's just a bad movie.
Godzilla? 1996.
Also not good.
All Godzillas.
La La Land.
What? I could see that because the hype was so hot on that so early.
See, I got to see it like early. I got to see it a couple weeks before it came out.
Because
of Cinema Dicks.
Seen it early on.
Yeah, and I really was blown away by it, but I never saw it again.
Right.
The Matrix sequels, so 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I'm down with number 2 because if that existed in a vacuum, that'd be a pretty good movie and everyone would agree. But
imagine
the expectations are so high.
Imagine Valerian coming out 10 years ago. Oh, imagine Dunkirk coming out 10 years ago. See what I'm saying? Like, that's why it's like it blew me away mildly because we're just spoiled nowadays.
Yeah.
But we're not spoiled with the kind of shit that Nolan does.
What do you mean?
Just the practical effects. Like, those ships are actually there. That ship is actually sinking. Mm. That plane is actually flying. He went up and he spent like hours in actual some of the fighters, like the Spitfires, to see what it felt like so that he could recreate it. Like we get to experience what it's like to be a Spitfire flyer for.
It was a unique perspective, especially on that part of the.
And I never questioned. Like this is real. Yeah. This is actually happening.
That part was spectacular. The footage and the experience. I agree. Overall, I liked it.
Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Interstellar.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Waterworld.
Oh yeah, that was a big one.
Yeah.
There was so much.
Actually, you know what?
There was so much shit talk about it going.
Yeah,
in
you're
though,
right.
Before
that,
it came out.
That could have been my list.
But no. There are so many articles about how it was the most expensive
over budget
movie ever.
Yeah, it was over time, yeah.
Yep. And lastly, The Master.
Yeah. Yes, definitely collapsed under the weight of expectations.
I mean, if I was being 100% honest, I'd probably have Eyes Wide Shut on my list, but I don't even know if I like it. I've seen it 3 times now, and I don't know. I don't know.
Any also rans for you?
Eyes Wide Shut.
It's very close to putting The World's End on there. The What's His Face movie.
I also got Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That's the one I thought was
going to
be on your list. And V for Vendetta is on my list.
Why were you so pumped about that?
About what?
Fear and Loathing?
V for Vendetta. It was the Wachowskis, retrophotography, I think, cinematographer. And he was making his film debut, and it was after they had made the Matrix movies, and I was like, oh, this is a good trailer. Looked good. District 9 didn't quite meet my expectations. I wish I had liked it more. Blow is an excellent example of a movie that was good, but man, was I hoping it'd be great.
Why?
Great trailer, great people involved. Johnny Depp at that point was still Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Yes, he was.
He was.
Brent Logan.
Any Given Sunday.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one. Remember, I was really jacked about that one. I'm not sure why. But I was, and everyone loved it, and I went and saw it, and it didn't live up for me.
Pacific Rim.
Oh,
I think I would have been a little more kind to that one if I hadn't expected anything from it. Animal House is a classic one that was built up so much for me.
So good. It lives up, though.
But the first time I saw it, I didn't find it anywhere near as funny as people had built it up, and then I came to appreciate it over time.
Let's put this one to bed. It just didn't feel like it.
Lincoln.
Okay. How would you have high expectations of Lincoln?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, come on. He's doing Lincoln, though.
Film.
You know what character he's playing. Yeah. It's Lincoln. We're all familiar. It's not like, who's this Daniel Plainview that he's being credited with? I've never heard of such a man. Like, you don't know what you're getting. But with Lincoln, you know. It's like, oh, you're going to get a boring fucking...
A measured, slow...
Yeah. Not good, Daniel.
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah.
Bruno.
All right, dude. What are you doing?
King Kong.
All right, we're done. Come on.
True Grit.
All right. Brian, why don't you just tweet out the rest, right?
All right, that's it.
All right. Ready to gamble?
Please.
Well, you don't like Bruno because of the dicks.
No, that's the one part I liked.
Last week, you gambled on Dunkirk. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was 96%. Ooh. Anderson bid 91, and Brian 88.
Ooh.
Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for Dunkirk has gone down to just 93%, making Anderson the winner.
Brutal.
Tight.
Why is that brutal?
Because I've lost now 3 weeks in a row.
Had you watch a movie that you would like?
That's true. I appreciate that.
I'm really surprised. I'm delighted and I'm happy.
Yeah,
that
you liked Valerian was good. Better than Dunker.
Movies for Bri. Let's see. Let's open this up. Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? I realize that I do a trick. I use tricks that I learned in this movie that I saw well over a year ago now. At least once a week, I do something that I learned from this movie.
Really?
And I flick-fest it way back when, and I'm going to assign it to you now, and it's called Just Eat It.
Just Eat It, about the food that expires.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
I used a trick just yesterday with some eggs that were past due.
I like this because I am a stickler about expiration dates. Stickler. Mm-hmm. I got the mild, low to mid-grade OCD, and I throw things away and they expire.
Yeah, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. And I think this movie will be eye-opening to you, and it's a value, and I suggest everyone give a shot to Just Eat It, especially our younger listeners who had Napoleon Dynamite on your list.
If you had Napoleon Dynamite on your list, you might like
Just Eat It.
Because you watched Napoleon Dynamite. At the time, This Week You're Gambling on Atomic Blonde.
Ooh. Now, what do you know about this movie? USF and Midsight.
It's a movie about this blonde lady who's atomic.
Okay, all right. Well, then write down a number real quick.
I also learned how to say her last name, finally. Charlize Theron.
That's boring.
It's not Theron. It rhymes with Darren. That's how I remember now. Oh. Charlize Theron.
Does it rhyme with Derone?
Does not.
Okay.
It rhymes with Darren. I don't know any Derones.
I have a number. Why?
I know some things about this movie.
Oh, what do you know? See, I don't like this. You know, this is why you're winning.
Why I'm winning? Because there's a woman in it, and she's blonde. Her name rhymes with Darren. All right, I got Phil Kessel.
For the fourth week in a row.
Yeah.
88.
Ooh. 81.
Oh.
Phil Kessel.
Going with Eric Lindros.
Go the thrill!
Hopefully you can shake off those concussions and come through for me.
It's too late for
it. Four times a charm!
I can't do it.
Okay.
The week before its release with 43 reviews, the Rotten Tomatoes score for Atomic Blonde is 77%.
Shit.
It could go up, yeah. It could go way up. It could. I mean, this is a badass bitch movie.
Is it 77%?
Yeah. 77.
It could go up. Up to 80.
You seen the trailer for My Bodyguard or whatever it's called? Are you excited about that with Ryan Reynolds?
Actually, I did see the trailer for it, and it actually didn't look that bad.
I thought of you throughout the entire trailer as I looked down and tried to ignore it, and I actually laughed out loud at one point, which upset me greatly.
Didn't look that bad.
When he's like, he's tried to kill me 24 times. 25! That was hilarious. When he remembered in the moment that it was a 25th
time. He tried to kill him 24 times. 25!
That was good. The rest of it can eat shit. How about that? Ryan Reynolds, TV actor.
Looked pretty good.
I got nothing more. Chats with Andy. They're a lot of fun. They're energizing me, doing them this summer only. So if you'd like to get one, I record it and I send it out to you. Go over to AndersonCowan.com, COWAN, and you click on it. This week I was pretty booked this week. I got some openings next week. So do it. Sit with me by the pool. Today a guy was at a bar and he's like, you know what?
No one
needs to see my face. But sometimes the call won't go through and I'll FaceTime by mistake and then I'll do the audio only. And then they call me back at the FaceTime. I'm like, decline, because I'm sitting in the backyard with my shirt off. No one needs to see that, Brad. But guy today, he's like, yeah, George. He's like, hey, I wanted to have a beer with you, so I'm sitting in a bar. I'm like, hey, hold on a second. Came right back with a beer.
Cracked open a beer.
It was nice.
It's good. Yeah. Thanks to our featured artist this week. Let's do the featured artwork, actually. Jeff P. provided our fan art this week.
Listener
over at AndersonAndBrian.com.
What's happening there? I don't understand that. Girl 6.
Very
upsetting. I see.
Very upsetting.
Spike Lee. Speaking of Spike Lee.
Look what it says in the top right.
What's it say?
Give yourself a handy while you chat with Andy. Oh, that's you on the phone.
That's
you're girl 6.
Let's add my website there and a little PayPal button there, maybe.
That's your...
It really is helping, though, guys, because, the wife's off working, and I'm trying to take care of the boy during the day, and I gotta pull my weight, and I feel like I'm not. There's not much I can do while I'm at home with the boy, except for when he's napping, so...
Is this making up for it?
I'm trying. I'm trying to diaper the boy. I'm trying to put diapers on him out of my own pocket.
Like, you carry him around in your pocket? Are you paying for
the trying to pay for the diapers and not be like, honey, can I go get some diapers, please?
You're like, never mind.
What am I like?
It's like in a Goodfellas, if you want to go shopping, put your hand out, but she gets more money from somehow.
Oh, yeah, that was his side piece, though.
Oh, no, it was...
Lorraine Bracco?
It was Lorraine, yeah, it was Karen.
Karen.
Oh, Oh, I said that. That's another line I quote. Oh, all right.
Oh, okay, that's not who's going down on him.
Well, she goes to Karen.
No, it's not Karen. That's his side piece. He's about to bail out, and then she's like,
"No,
sure,
it's for
down.
Sure, Karen.
It is not for sure, Karen.
I want to go shopping."
No, it's not.
All right,
I think
it
it's Debbie
Logan,
Mazar. What
Logan,
was her name?
Look up the.
How are we gonna find? We'll find out next week.
No,
next week.
Let's gamble on it.
Oh, all right.
Oh, all right.
Oh yeah, that is not
oh,
Karen.
Oh, all right.
That is not Karen. Oh my God, it's been a number of years since I've actually watched it all the way through, and I love this fucking movie. I was.
Thanks, Jeff, for the featured art this week. For the fan art, we appreciate that. Featured artists this week include Good Talk, Russ, Social Set,
I love that.
Still Life, and Natalie Wells. Thanks, you guys, for being our featured artists. Check them out, AndersonAndBrian.com. That's where we go to click through that Amazon button, which we appreciate. Thank you, guys.
The Amazon button? What is that?
Amazon button. And Facebook, Twitter, The Film Vault.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I found a good fellow, rich man. Oh, all right. Fuck you, ad. Fuck you, ad.
The Film Vault on both. It's where you go to vote on our, top five list, to suggest top five lists, which we often use.
You son of a
bitch.
So
if you guys have an idea, head over to Twitter and or Facebook. At us, The Film Vault on both. What do you got there?
God damn it.
Thank God Natalie Wells did a long song. How much? This much?
You son of a bitch, you're absolutely right. This hurts, dude. I gotta take penance for this. This is...
Oh,
this because it's early on in the relationship. She still is like the girlfriend. She's not the wife.
She's the only
yet.
One for him yet.
So in my head, I'm rationalizing right now. Well done, Brian. I fucking feel like that's my second favorite movie of all time, and I don't even know that.
God damn it. I sign you Citizen Kane to watch again. You all right? You gonna come back from this?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I am. This hurts. This really hurts.
Who do it for?
Oh, all right. We do it for fucking Karen. We do it for Van Gogh.